In the morning, I awoke about 10, perfectly gay and refreshed. Phoebe was up before me and asked me in the kindest manner how I did, how I had rested, and if I was ready for breakfast, avoiding to increase the confusion she saw I was in at looking at her in the face by any hint of the night's bed scene. We breakfasted, and the tea things were scarce removed when in were brought 2 bundles of linen and wearing apparel. In short, all the necessaries for rigging me out, as they termed it, completely. Imagine to yourself, madam, how my little coquette heart fluttered with joy at the sight of a white lute string, flowered with silver, scoured indeed, but passed on me for spick and span new, a Brussels lace cap, braided shoes, and the rest in proportion, all second-hand finery, and procured instantly for the occasion by the diligence and industry of the good Mrs. Brown. The care of dressing and tricking me out for the market was then left to Phoebe, who acquitted herself to the satisfaction of everything but my impatience of seeing myself dressed. When it was over, and I viewed myself in the glass, I was, no doubt, too natural, too artless, to hide my childish joy at the change. A change in the real truth, for much the worse, since I must have much better become the neat, easy simplicity of my rustic dress than the awkward, tawdry finery that I could not conceal my strangeness to. I was tall, yet not too tall for my age, which, as I before remarked, was barely turned of 15. My shape, perfectly straight, thin-waisted, and light and free, without owing anything to stays. My hair was a glossy auburn, and as soft as silk flowing down my neck in natural buckles, and did not a little set off the whiteness of a smooth skin. My face was rather too ruddy, though its features were delicate, and the shape was a roundish oval, except where a pit on my chin had far from a disagreeable effect. My eyes were as black as can be imagined, and rather languishing than sparkling, except on certain occasions, when I have been told they struck fire fast enough. My teeth, which I ever carefully preserved, were small, even, and white. My bosom was finely raised, and one might then discern rather the promise than the actual growth of the round, firm breasts that in a little time made that promise good. In short, all the points of beauty that are most universally in request, I had. Or at least my vanity forbade me to appeal from the decision of our sovereign judges, the men, who all, that I ever knew at least, gave it thus highly in my favour. And I met with, even in my own sex, some that were above denying me that justice, whilst others praised me yet more unsuspectedly, by endeavouring to detract from me in points of person and figure that I obviously excelled in. This is, I own, too strong of self-praise. But should I not be ungrateful to nature, and to a form to which I owe such singular blessings of pleasure and fortune, were I to suppress, through an affectation of modesty, the mention of such valuable gifts? Well, then, dressed I was, and little did it enter into my head that all this gay attire was no more than decking the victim out for sacrifice, whilst I innocently attributed all to mere friendship in the sweet Mrs. Brown. After some little time, most agreeably spent before the glass, I was sent for down to the parlour, where the old lady saluted me and wished me joy of my new clothes, which she was not ashamed to say fitted me as if I had worn nothing but the finest all my lifetime. But what was it she could not see me silly enough to swallow? She presented me to another cousin of her own creation, an elderly gentleman, who got up at my entry into the room, and on my dropping a curtsy to him, saluted me, and seemed a little affronted that I had only presented my cheek to him, a mistake which he immediately corrected by gluing his lips to mine. Imagine to yourself a man rather past 80, short and ill-made, with a yellow cadaverous hue, great goggling eyes that stared as if he were strangled, and out mouth from two more properly tusks than teeth, livid lips, and a breath like a Jake's. Then he had a peculiar ghastliness in his grin that made him perfectly frightful, if not dangerous, to women with child. Yet, made as he was thus in mock of man, he was so blind to his own staring deformities as to think himself born for pleasing, and that no woman could see him with impunity, in consequence of which idea he had lavished great sums on such wretches as could gain upon themselves to pretend love to his person. Impotence made him seek in variety the provocative that was wanting to raise him to the pitch of enjoyment, which too he often saw himself balked of by the failure of his powers. And this always threw him into a fit of rage on the innocent objects of his fit of momentary desire. This, then, was the monster to which my conscientious benefactress had doomed me, and sent for me down purposely for his examination. Accordingly, she made me stand up before him, turned me round, unpinned my handkerchief, remarked to him the rise and fall, the turn and whiteness of a bosom just beginning to fill. In short, she omitted no point of jockeyship, to which he only answered by gracious nods of approbation. Sometimes I stole a corner glance at him, and encountering his fiery stare, looked away from pure horror and affright, which he, doubtless in character, attributed to nothing more than maiden modesty. I was soon reconducted to my room by Phoebe, who began to sift the state of my heart towards this monster, asking me how I should approve of such a fine gentleman for a husband. I answered her very naturally that I had no thoughts of a husband, that if I was to choose one, it should be among my own degree. But Phoebe went on with her endeavours to soften me for the purposes of my reception into that hospitable house. Mother Brown had, in the meantime, agreed the terms with this licorice old goat, which I afterwards understood were to be 50 guineas peremptory for the liberty of attempting me, and 100 more at the complete gratification of his desires in the triumph over my virginity. And as for me, I was to be left entirely at the discretion of his liking and generosity. This unrighteous contract being thus settled, he was so eager to be put in possession that he insisted on being introduced to drink tea with me that afternoon, when we were to be left alone. Nor would he hearken to the procuress's remonstrances, that I was not sufficiently ripened for such an attack, that I was too green and untamed. For it is the character of lust to be impatient, and his vanity, arming him against any supposition of other than the common resistance of a maid on those occasions, made him reject all proposals of a delay. And my dreadful trial was thus fixed, unknown to me, for that very evening.